Hi, everyone. Welcome to Authors on the Air. I'm your host, Pam Stack. We're proud to be part of the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network. I'm thrilled that you're with me today, everyone. And I'm equally thrilled that we have a very fascinating guest. Most of you know that I interview in genre fiction. Today is a little bit different. I have a very new author, but someone who's been in the business world for many, many years. My guest today is Martin Sawa. This is his book, The Other Side of Success, Money and Meaning in the Golden State. Martin, welcome to Authors on the Air. I'm thrilled that you can make it.
Hi, Pam, and thanks so much for having me.
I'm thrilled that you're here. You have a very interesting story to tell. First of all, tell viewers and listeners a little bit about your background.
My parents were born in Ukraine in the pre-World War II and during the World War II era. And they lived in DP camps, displaced persons camps, in Europe for 4 years before emigrating to the U.S. And I was conceived in one of those DP camps, but birthed on U.S. soil. And we grew up in a small town in rural Wisconsin. The immigration policy at that time was to disperse immigrants and rather than concentrate them in, you know, the large Ukrainian ghettos in New York and Toronto, Chicago. So that's how I came to be here.
Wow. I didn't realize that. I didn't know that when immigrants came over, that they were put kind of, you were in communities of Ukrainians, correct?
That had been the process for the initial waves of immigration in the late 19th and early 20th century. But after the war, it was more dispersion. So we were the only Ukrainians for miles around.
And in Wisconsin.
In Wisconsin.
So you were used to the cold, but so that was a good thing. What happened when you grew up in Wisconsin? Then what happened to you?
Well, I was fortunate enough to attend a Jesuit boarding school, which just happened to be located near this town. And I learned more in high school than I did in college. And I met some very smart people, and it kind of gave me the confidence to try to make my mark in the world. So I left this town, Prairie du Chien, on the day of my high school graduation and moved to Chicago. And then a few years later, in 1973, moved to California and never looked back.
What did you aspire to do when you were in high school and after you left high school?
Well, I studied architecture for a while in college and then just kind of bounced around. I did some hitchhiking, took driveway cars, kind of saw the country, didn't really know what I wanted to do. So when I arrived in California, I got into city planning. Got married. And when my wife was pregnant, we were dead broke. And I was commuting 50 miles from Oakland to San Jose to a job I didn't like. And one day I just quit and said, I'm never going back to that life again. I'm going to make it on my own as an entrepreneur. And so I got a real estate license because that was the easiest thing to get into, virtually no barriers to entry, and started out as a commercial real estate broker selling investment properties.
Wow. Wow, wow. Did you enjoy doing that?
Well, I don't know if enjoy is the right word because it's constant stress. And it took almost a year before I started seeing any commission checks. So during the interim, I had to kite credit cards, do whatever I had to do to support the family. And so it was rough starting out. But once the deal started happening and bigger commissions, then it felt rewarding.
And so what did you do then? So you sold commercial real estate. I would imagine, I understand that would be longer term before you got commissions on those. So now you're finally in the loop and you're becoming known and you're making some money and you're able to support your family. What happens then?
Well, from the business side, I stayed in brokerage for almost 20 years.
Wow.
This was in San Francisco and West Los Angeles, where I sold high-rise office buildings,
wow,
shopping malls, technology parks, the largest assets. And there were a number of factors in my personal life that were affected by the business. And those caused a lot of issues. And eventually, I was at the top of my game, and I just quit brokerage. And that shocked a lot of people because, why would you do that? And so then I wasn't sure what I was going to do. I tried day trading for a while because there was a lot of excitement.
Pretty hot back then, too. It was a lot of people doing that. Yeah,
so like a few weeks ago when you saw the GameSpot and all of that, that was the norm back then.
Right.
I wasn't that good at it, which led me to believe that if you're good in one aspect of business, that doesn't necessarily mean you'll be good in another.
It doesn't translate, right?
So here I was, and one day out of the blue, former colleague, we were down in Los Angeles at the time, and a former colleague of mine from San Francisco called and said he had a deal in the city, an office building that was coming up for sale. And as a broker, you get paid if the deal closes, but you don't have the risk of having to put your own money and time and reputation on the line, which you do when you buy a property. So to make a long story short, I decided to get back in the game and we put the deal together. And now I was a commercial real estate operator.
What does that mean? Because operator, to someone who reads a lot of genre fiction, an operator could be a special ops guy or something like that. I know it means something different for you. So explain what an operator is in your world.
In real estate, in the world of mega deals, the world that I was trained in, these are large assets that are beyond the reach of any individual investor.
Right.
Or most of them. The operator is the person who finds a major institutional investor, could be a life insurance company, or a REIT, a sovereign wealth fund,
right,
and puts the deal together, and largely with their money, but also putting some in and using their expertise then in a joint venture to own the asset, add value, and ultimately sell it and make a profit.
Could be a consortium of investors or
could be a syndicate or it could be a single investor.
Yeah, interesting. You wrote this book at a time that wasn't so great for you. Can you tell us about this book? And I mean, a time wasn't great and then it got better, I guess I should say. So I want to know about the other side of success and what made you decide to write this? Because I know you mentor young entrepreneurs as well. But your book is very poetic in its read. It's almost like reading fiction because you have a lot of dialogue in there. It's not just a flat story. So I really liked it a lot. Can you tell our listeners and our viewers, and here's your bookmark, what motivated you to write this book? And then give them a little bit of a basic storyline.
So just to finish, I reinvented myself one more time in the world of commercial real estate from an operator to a developer. And that's, most people I think know what that is.
Right.
And so I had a partner and we had a major project in San Francisco. It was a large mixed-use project, involved a number of buildings and properties, and had a finished value at that time that we estimated at around $400 million. And this was during the Great Recession. And so things happened. And I'm not going to give too many spoiler alerts here, but I got out of the business in about 8 years ago and decided at that time that I was going to devote time to things that I hadn't had time to do before, because it's a business that just takes 110% of your time. And that was one of the problems. I couldn't live right in other aspects of my life and still do it.
Yeah, your personal life suffers if you give too much to your business life. And so it's finding a balance, correct?
Yeah, it's not just, you know, you only have so many hours in the day, but it's a lifestyle that produces behavior that's not always
it's not healthy.
Conducive,
right?
Or healthy.
Sure. Yeah,
especially if you're married and have children. And
you have to wine and dine and entertain and all the other things that come along with that, right? So
yeah, and you think only in a business sense. And if you make money, it's good. And if you don't, it's bad. And so just all the ethical issues, it's just a constellation of factors. So I dropped out and I didn't know what I was going to do, like a number of points in my life. But then decided I was going to do some writing. So I started out, you know, writing some essays. And then I started writing screenplays. I had never written before, and other than business writing. So I didn't know how to create and develop characters or, you know, the three-act structure or any of those things. So I did that, and I wrote three screenplays, and then I decided what I was going to do next. And I was working with a developmental editor who said, you know, your life seems kind of interesting. And that's something, you know, you write what you know, where your heart is in it. Do you ever think of writing a memoir? And I said, no, because I always thought it was kind of a narcissistic, it could be a narcissistic exhibition.
Oh, sometimes
or just a banal vanity project. So I gave it some thought, and then I thought about it, and I discovered that the people that I had known and the experiences that I had were more interesting than what I could conjure up in the fictional world. And so that was, but then as I got into it, and people who have written memoirs understand that the hardest decision is how truthful are you going to be? And I struggle with this for weeks, and because it means going back in your life and reliving unpleasant experiences and reconnecting with people to, you know, establish the accurate timeline and what happened when, and you know how memory is. And then I decided, yes, I was going to be truthful, and you're either all in or not in at all. And then
what does your family think about this, Martin?
Well, they always thought I was, you know, kind of marched to my own drumbeat anyway. So.
Good for you. I like that.
I don't want to say they took it in stride, but, you know, they...
But they did.
Took it in stride. So.
Good for you.
And so then I was faced with, you know, the structure And obviously, my career in commercial real estate, I thought would be interesting to people. There haven't been very many books written about commercial real estate. If you go to those physical bookstores that still are around and you look on the shelf, 95% is on residential real estate. And it's kind of the, you know, the seven secrets or the how-to variety.
Sure.
So I thought kind of exposing this world of commercial real estate and the mega deals and the characters would be kind of interesting. But then I said, that's just the business bio, and it doesn't really address the issue of truth. So I wrote a parallel narrative, and this was raw accounting of my personal life, and that's how the book came to be.
How long did it take for you to write this book?
Oh, from start to when I was able to have it ready for final editing and proofing, probably about 3 years.
Wow. Was it difficult for you to write this story?
Yes. Not the business side, but the personal side.
Right. Well, I would imagine that's true. Excuse me, I have a meowing cat right now. What did you expect when you first started this book? What did you expect to feel or to not feel? Or was it cathartic? I mean, what was your expectation for writing the book?
There were certain scenes that really were very hard to write because it involved really serious life issues, the traumatic, unexpected death, the spiritual components, things like that. And I had to kind of relive those moments. And that's why I didn't want to do it in the first place, but I just had to do it.
Now that the book is done and it's been published, are you glad that you wrote it? Are you nervous about your friends and family reading it? Tell me how you feel now that the book is out.
Well, when I started, I could have written all of this for cathartic purposes for myself and just journaled it.
Right.
So I knew when I started to write that it wasn't just for me, it was for an audience. And so I had to do the best job I possibly could. So at the end of the day, you know, they'll laugh, they'll cry, maybe find some inspiration. And the personal side with the family and close friends, and it was difficult. I had to conduct some interviews because some of this goes back 40, 50 years. I couldn't remember well. And so like some of my stepchildren, for example, to really create the scene properly and truthfully. But at the end of the day, I was surprised because one of the first early readers was my grandson, now 14.
Really?
And he's a voracious reader. Yeah, oh. He read Stephen King's It, and you know, he's a very sharp kid. And he gave it a thumbs up, so that kind of legitimized it for the family.
Aw, that's wonderful. Now, how do you feel now that it's out?
Of course, yeah. Excuse me. Of course, you're nervous. It's like you can be in the movie industry. You can be Steven Spielberg, but you never know how the movie's going to play. That's why they preview it in Peoria or Riverside or someplace.
Right.
And then make edits and changes depending on the audience reaction. You just don't know. So I had some ARC readers and beta readers, and that was very helpful.
Yeah.
And it gave me a sense that the book worked. The sort of the two parallel narratives And they said it, it was fast-paced, easy to read. And at the end of the day, my instructions to them were, I only want you to read until the point where you get bored or bump, and then just set it down. It could be page one, page 50. Just let me know how far you got. And I don't want you to read anymore, because I don't like to read a book I don't like.
That's a really important thing for you to tell your beta readers, because you need to know if you're losing them.
Yeah, exactly.
And how to get back on track again. Very smart of you. Yeah, I beta read a lot, and I'm always surprised when the writer doesn't ask me questions afterward. I think it's important to have feedback. Is this your first full-length book that you've written?
Yeah, it's the first full-length anything I've written.
So. Well, you wrote screenplays, so that's...
Yeah, screenplays, but a book, 85,000 words, is different than a script of 20 or 25,000 words.
So. That's true. Would you like to write another book?
Yeah, I right now I'm just focused on the marketing and doing these kind of interviews, which I really enjoy. Publishing has become so virtual that I could be a fictional person. No one would ever know. They see the book cover, the book description on Amazon. They click. And AI is frankly starting to do some pretty good writing. But so the ability just to interact with people, I just love it.
Yeah. And well, it's not like a real book tour, but at least we're face to face anyway. And so I think that's important. And it's important, I know, for you as the writer to have feedback too. So if you write again, will you write another nonfiction book, or would you like to write fiction?
I was always thinking of writing that next script, the ones I wrote, they were pretty good in terms of my peers. At that time, I was taking classes at UCLA, and then with Corey Mandel, who is one of the best teachers I've ever had. But they weren't on the order of being of the quality that would be picked up, which the odds are like getting hit by lightning, a little better than getting hit by lightning. So that's always in the back of my mind. One of the book itself contains a multiplicity of stories.
Yes, it does.
They're like, the little Ukrainian Russian dolls that are nested one in the other. And my stepson, his journey to success, frankly, was a lot more overwhelming than mine. So that may be a story that we'll do.
Interesting. Have you always been a reader?
Yeah, when I had the time. And even in my business life, there'd be occasions where I would take time outs and read and maybe do some spiritual pursuits, because I always felt that there was something missing, and I had to stay on top of things. And particularly in today's day and age, where the information people get are from manufactured visual and audio images on gadgets, and to just not be manipulated through, hone your BS detector.
Yeah.
Takes a lot of reading.
It does take a lot of reading. I agree with you. Do you have a tendency to prefer nonfiction, or do you read any fiction at all?
Well, historically, it was almost entirely nonfiction. And then when I decided to do the memoir, I read a lot of memoirs. And there is like fiction that's like, if it's so well written and so moving. Even if it's not my genre, I'm not a genre reader.
Okay.
Where, I devour zombies in space, or but if I find some that's so compelling, and I research the author and their background to see kind of what their agenda is, and when it all comes together, I love a great novel.
But, you know, I think memoirs and biographies can be just as exciting as genre fiction, depending upon the writer. If it's not dry, and, you know, your writing is not dry at all, I think that books like yours are every bit as exciting as reading fiction. Do you agree?
Yes. I've read some great memoirs, all of Mary Carr's works, I'm sure you're familiar with, and, you know, just the sensory description.
Yeah.
And the memoir falls technically between fiction and nonfiction. It's a truthful accounting. If you don't stay to the truth, and you've seen people, you know, who have created novels and passed them off as memoirs, that's kind of disturbing. But then you also need to make it interesting. As a novel, you need to have the scenes and the sequences and the character arcs. And so you have to kind of mash the two together.
That's true. You do. You do. So now you're going to sit back and say, oh, thank you. The book is out. I'm finished with that part. We'll move on to promotion and marketing. And then you're going to jump back in and do screenplays again.
Perhaps. But I've done some strange things in my life for no apparent reason. So there's no guarantees, Pam.
That's the way it should be, Martin. It keeps your life exciting, right? This is my retirement hobby, so I understand completely. My business is so not having anything to do with this. I'm just an avid reader, and I'm so impressed by people who can write books. That's why I like talking to them, because I read a lot. So tell everybody where they can get your book, and also where we can find you on the internet.
The easiest place to start is to go to my website, which is martinsawa.com. And there you can click, and the book is available online from a bookseller of your choice.
Excellent.
In paperback, hardback, ebook format. You click and then click again, and you're in Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Great.
And you download the ebook, and you can start reading in about 45 seconds.
Well, that's you know, it's interesting. I read that like 1.5 million, no, maybe it's more than that, 11 million or something self-published books were put out last year. Ebooks had just blew out. People were reading more than ever, which gives me great joy to know that, because you know, most, I know a lot of people who've never read a book for pleasure, and I don't understand that at all. But I love your cover design. I think it's beautiful. It's eye-catching when you're just looking at thumbnails on Amazon or any other place. And I don't know a lot of bookstores that are open, or they have limited capacity. I wish you all the success with this. I really enjoyed this book. I'm so glad that Julia mentioned you to me. And I hope if you have a new project, you'll come back and see me sometime.
Well, thanks so much, Pam. I really appreciate you having me on. I know you have a wide, wide network of listeners.
Oh, listen, it's nice for me to try new things and, you know, and talk to interesting people. I love that. It's a nice change of pace for me. You know, you seem like a really down to earth guy, even though you've had these great successes and then you've walked away from them and all. And to me, that makes life interesting.
You never know what's coming around the corner.
You sure don't. I tell you what, you know, something amazing is going to happen every single day. You just got to get ready for it, right?
That's absolutely true.
Thank you so much. My guest today has been Martin Sawa. His book is called The Other Side of Success, Money and Meaning in the Golden State. I highly recommend this book. Thank you so much, Martin.
Thank you.
See you later.
Bye-bye.